morning and welcome to the broadcast of the Divine Service at Zion Lutheran Church in Chippewa Falls. To help you follow along, the order of worship for today's service is available under the radio tab on our website, zionlcmscf.org. The Lord bless you today through the hearing of His Word.
Good morning, and welcome to our worship service, especially all the guests and visitors today. So thank you for joining us. And I do this every time because we have some radio listeners, but I'll go through the hymns, but also remind you, there's ribbons to mark ahead of time to help you kind of flow through the service a little easier, so you can go ahead and mark the ribbons for those hymns. We're going to be following Divine Service Setting 1, so we'll begin at page 151. Actually, we begin with the opening hymn, so you get the idea. But for those hymns, when you're marking your hymns, opening hymn 518, because we are in the gospel, we're going over the beheading of John the Baptist, and so we sing verses 1, then verse 24, and then verse 3, by all your saints in warfare. The hymn of the day is 743, Jesus, priceless treasure. During distribution, hymn 610, Lord Jesus, think on me. 682, God of the prophets, bless the prophet's sons. 713, from God can nothing move me. Our closing hymn, 655, Lord, keep us steadfast in your word. Also, we'll use the yellow insert. This is where we have the introit, the collect of the day, the readings, the gradual. We'll sing together the introit and the gradual, so you can keep that handy for that part of the service. Let's see. Oh, I mentioned the radio. We have a fund, and so for those who want to keep it going, please keep that in mind. So what we do is go month to month, and at least we have enough to get through July. But just a reminder for those who want to keep it going, make your offering designated to the radio fund, and there's envelopes for that if you want. Next Sunday, we are going to have our rededication and an opening house for the sacristy. It's done, thanks to Pastor Jones and others. Jeff has helped. Aren't, and some others have done a beautiful job of renovating that. So you'll be able to, you can look anytime, frankly, but we'll make a special day of it next Sunday. And also, I want to, the sermon is based on one prepared by Randall Picari. He's a pastor at Our Savior Lutheran in South Windsor, Connecticut. Give him credit. Of course, give credit to the Lord always. And so let us begin with our opening hymn, number 518, beginning at verse 1, then 24, then 3. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. We allow a time of silence to reflect on God's word and for self-examination. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Turn to the yellow sheet and sing together the introit. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy. for this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise. Let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O Lord, you granted your prophet strength to resist the temptations of the devil and courage to proclaim repentance. Give us pure hearts and minds to follow your Son faithfully, even into suffering and death, through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament reading is from Amos chapter 7. This is what the Lord God showed me. Behold, the Lord was standing beside a wall built with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord said to me, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a plumb line. And the Lord said, behold, I'm setting a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will never again pass by them. The high places of Isaac shall be made desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste. And I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword. And Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent to Jeroboam, king of Israel, saying, Amos has conspired against you in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. For thus Amos has said, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel must go into exile away from this land. And Amaziah said to Amos, O seer, go, flee away to the land of Judah, and eat bread there, and prophesy there, but never again prophesy at Bethel, for it is the king's sanctuary, and it is a temple of the kingdom. And Amos answered and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet nor a prophet's son, but I was a herdsman and a dresser of sycamore figs. But the Lord took me from following the flock, and the Lord said to me, go, prophesy to my people Israel. This is the word of the Lord. We continue by singing together the gradual and the yellow insert.
Thank you.
The epistle is from Ephesians chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand in honor of the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 6th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
King Herod heard of it, for Jesus' name had become known. Some said, John the Baptist has been raised from the dead. That is why these miraculous powers are at work in him. But others said he's Elijah, and others said he's a prophet, like one of the prophets of old. But when Herod heard of it, he said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised. For it was Herod who had sent and seized John and bound him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because he had married her. For John had been saying to Herod, it's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. And Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to put him to death, but she could not, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he kept him safe. When he had heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he heard him gladly. But an opportunity came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his nobles and military commanders and the leading men of Galilee. For when Herodias' daughter came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guests. And the king said to the girl, ask me for whatever you wish, and I will give it to you. And he vowed to her, whatever you ask me, I will give you up to half my kingdom. And she went out and said to her mother, for what should I ask? And she said, the head of John the Baptist. And she came in immediately with haste to the king and asked, saying, I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter. And the king was exceedingly sorry, but because of his oaths and his guests, he did not want to break his word to her. And immediately the king sent an executioner with orders to bring John's head. He went and beheaded him in the prison and brought his head on a platter and gave it to the girl, and the girl gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard of it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. This is the gospel of the Lord. We continue with our hymn of the day. You may be seated. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. When we pick up scripture from the Bible, a text may not seem to be about Jesus, but it's still about Jesus. In the gospel reading today, Mark invites us to contrast and compare Jesus with two other characters, Herod and John the Baptist. We know the story, of course. Wicked Herod will have the faithful John the Baptist beheaded. But in the process of telling that grisly story, Mark teaches us something more. We learn to distinguish between the kingdoms of this world and the kingdom of God, the reign of God. Herod Antipas was never really given the title of king. He was a tetrarch. He was a ruler of one-fourth of the kingdom that his father, Herod the Great, was king of. Yet Mark calls him king, and no one else does. Mark calls him a king throughout this passage, and by calling King Herod a king, Mark's inviting us to contrast him to the true king, Jesus. Jesus is the only other person Mark notes as king in his gospel. So there are set before us two kings and two kingdoms. Herod, a world ruler, lives in opposition to the reign of God. Jesus, the true king, he brings the reign of God near to us. And we're called to reject the path of the kingdoms of this age and to follow King Jesus under the reign of God, even if it means our own rejection or rejection by the powers of this present evil age. Well, to which kingdom do you most conform? What values most shape and influence us? Herod displays the values of this present evil age. Herod knows, but he defies the clear law of God, committing adultery, marrying his living brother's wife. He serves the desires of his own flesh without concern for the will of God. Herod, he built his palace, even his whole capital city, Tiberias, to imitate the imperial glory and splendor of Rome rather than his own Jewish culture. He's deeply concerned with fitting in. He's deeply concerned with conforming to the culture that he admires. And Herod throws a big party for himself on his birthday, and he surrounds himself with his nobles and military commanders and leading men of Galilee, you know, the people of influence he's trying to impress. He's deeply concerned with power and prestige in the eyes of the world. And Herod gives in to the pressure of his stepdaughter, his wife, and these guests of his, because he's deeply concerned with his own honor and with his pride. Herod orders the execution of John the Baptist. He's wielding his power for his own end and for all his own concerns. Jesus, on the other hand, embodies the values of the reign of God. Jesus lives in perfect obedience to the whole will and the law of God. Jesus lives humbly, not in splendor, not in self-indulgence. Jesus associates with sinners and outcasts. He's moved by compassion for others. And Jesus submits to the will of his Father, enduring scorn and humiliation. Jesus gives his life for those who opposed and rejected him. He doesn't use his immense power to punish or to force others to succumb, but Jesus submits to death so that all sinners, even you and me, might be brought out of this present evil age and made heirs of his kingdom. So we're called to follow Jesus, conforming to the values and reign of God. We're to follow his will and his law as he gives them to us clearly in the Holy Word, in the Bible. We're to hear them, read, study, meditate on the scriptures, where he communicates his will and law to us. We're to not do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility consider others more significant than ourselves and look to the interest of others. We're to help people around us, the people in our families, the people in our church, and the people in our community. Not to impress people, but just to serve them. We're to reach out to the sinners and the outcasts around us. They are loved by God. We can extend the love of God to them, no matter how the world portrays this or speaks of them. We can invite them to be a part of God's family here at Zion, loving and forgiving them as we have been loved and we have been forgiven. We are to submit to the will of God, no matter what it costs us or how it is perceived by others. To follow the way of the reign of God is to follow the way of the cross. Before all else, to follow the way of the cross is to heed the call of repentance. This is the persistent message of the kingdom. Repent. John the Baptist came on the scene proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. After John came Jesus. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Jesus sent out his disciples to preach this same message. The text for today is set in the middle of this mission between sending them out and them coming back. And the call to repentance isn't just a general call to all humanity. It's a specific call to specific people. Repent. John confronted the specific sin of adultery of Herod and Herodias. The Word of God is calling you where you're at in your sin. We're not to simply go along with the ways of the world, the way of our own self-centered, indulgent lives, desires. And self-indulgence, it's not just throwing yourself parties and surrounding yourselves with people who will let you do whatever you want. I mean, self-indulgence, it happens in so many ways. It can happen in front of the screens that we find ourselves addicted to, the scrolling or viewing or playing online. We're indulging yourself while neglecting responsibilities and opportunities to help others. We're not to be conformed by the world, trying to fit in or trying to impress others of influence in the world, rather than follow the ways of God and his commandments. We're not to remain silent or turn our backs on those who are treated unjustly. We can speak up for them and help to defend them. But how can you not respond to Jesus and John's call to repentance? To reject the clear revealed word and will of God is to stand with Herod. To reject the clear and revealed word and will of God is to stand against the reign and rule of God himself and to forfeit a place in that blessed kingdom. The one who calls you to repent is the same one who gave his life as a ransom to buy you out of sin and death, out of this present evil age. And Jesus, moved by compassion for you, endured the humiliation of the cross, the taunts and rejection of his people, all for you. Repentance is always met with forgiveness. For that excessive time in front of the screen, those hours, days, those months of self-indulgence, Jesus gave his life for you, that you may be set free, that you may turn to him and receive forgiveness, renewal, refreshment. When you turn in repentance from being conformed to the world, Jesus forgives, and he transforms you by the renewal of your mind, that by testing, you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. He will create in you a clean heart by his blood and renew a right spirit within you. Repent and believe this good news. But be aware that to follow the reign of God is the way of the cross, that it is to face rejection by the world. The arrest, execution, and burial of John the Baptist foreshadows the arrest, execution, and burial of Jesus. John is arrested and bound. Jesus would be arrested and bound. John is executed. Jesus will be executed. John's disciples take his body and lay it in the tomb. The followers of Jesus would take his body and lay it in a tomb. Therefore, those who follow Jesus will also face the way of the cross. Our text follows immediately after Jesus sends out his disciples to carry out his own mission and comes immediately before they return to report on their work. So interrupting the account of the disciples' mission with this story of John's execution highlights the reality of the world's resistance and opposition to God's message and messengers. John the Baptist, like the disciples, carried the message of the kingdom. Repent. Mark is emphasizing that all who preach this same word and who live in the pattern of the reign of heaven will be in danger. Jesus himself warns of this reality. He says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. This is exactly what we are called to do. This seems like foolishness to the world. Why be a John the Baptist and lose your head when you could be a Herod and enjoy the comforts of Rome? But Jesus says that the opposite is true in his kingdom. The one who wants to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for him and the gospel will save it. The pleasures of Herod and his kingdom are temporary. The gifts of forgiveness and the kingdom of God are eternal. At one point, Herod Antipas did travel to Rome, and he begged to be given the title of king, but he was refused. He died in exile. Ironically, however, the authorities of Rome granted Jesus the title of King of the Jews at his crucifixion, foreshadowing that day when every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Those who follow the way of the cross, repenting of sin, trusting in Jesus, will be vindicated in the end of days with their master and will share an eternal life under the fullness of his kingdom. Amen. And may the peace that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stand. Together we confess our faith as written in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the church, that the Lord would preserve her for his name's sake and answer her in his righteousness and faithfulness, let us pray to the Lord. For the testimony of Christ's word, opposed by the world, for the conviction and confidence in our confession that salvation is found through Jesus Christ alone, let us pray to the Lord. For all ministers, that God would make them zealous and faithful in their service. And for Matthew, our synod president, Duane, our district president, and Jeffrey, our circuit visitor, that God would grant them wisdom in their work and joy in their calling. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the blessed estate of marriage, that God would cause chastity to be prized among his Christians and honored also in the world. For husbands and wives, that God would bind them together in love and forgiveness. For those celebrating anniversaries this month, especially Pastor and Kathy Miller and Chuck and Linda Hall. And for parents, that God would equip them by his Spirit with every good gift to care for and teach the children he gives. Let us pray to the Lord. For our nation and its leaders, that God would spare them. We thank you for sparing and protecting President Trump. For our civil servants and our people, that their conduct would be wise, just, and honorable in accord with the Lord's revealed will, even for those who oppose God, that the Lord would be merciful to them for the sake of Christ, and remember that he desires all to be saved. Let us pray to the Lord. For the needy in body and soul, especially Jeff, Dan, Ben, Lewis, Arlene, Marlis, Tim, Missy, Lacey, Marlene, Arlene, Michael, Mark, Alexis, Nancy, Jesse, Sarah, Kara, Marlis, Erno, Ben, Jeff, Greg, the families of Fred Littlefield, the families of Nancy Serrar, for those families of those who died at the recent shooting, that he would lavish the riches of his grace on them. Let us pray to the Lord. For all who commune today, that by the redemption in Christ Jesus, we may receive the forgiveness of our trespasses and be strengthened through his body and blood to life everlasting. Let us pray to the Lord. That we would respect the bodies of the saints in life and death, and that as the disciples of John gave him a proper burial, we too would confess our expectation of the resurrection in word and deed. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
O Lord, Heavenly Father, join these, our prayers and praises, with those of your faithful people in every time and in every place. Unite them in the ceaseless petitions of our great high priest, until he comes again on the last day. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Receive the blessing of our Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Please be seated as the offering is gathered.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and at all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.
O Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, in giving your body and blood to eat and to drink, you lead us to remember and confess your holy cross and passion, your blessed death, your rest in the tomb, your resurrection from the dead, your ascension into heaven, and your coming for the final judgment. Remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen."
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen. Let not God you take away the sin.
Thank you for tuning in to the Divine Service at Zion Lutheran Church in Chippewa Falls. May the word of Christ dwell in you richly. If you have any prayer requests, please let us know. You may call us at 715-723-6380 or stop by and visit 110 East Grand Avenue, Chippewa Falls. If you're looking for a church home, we'll gladly tell you more about Zion or help you find a congregation near you. These broadcasts are paid for by generous gifts made to our radio fund. If you'd like to contribute, click the Give tab on our website, zionlcmscf.org, or send a check to Zion Lutheran Church Radio Fund, 110 East Grand Avenue, Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, 54729. Zion is a member of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.